It's time to get our view from the north. Ow! You, well, maybe not you, but you can find what he's up to. NBC's Sports Northwest, Rip City Radio, The Bridge, who the hell knows what else. Follow along on Twitter. The handle's at Aaron J. Fentress. Mr. Fentress, how you doing?
I'm tired. It's been a long week.
I'm sure. You know, I've known you for about 9 years. And in the last week,
You still talk to me?
It's a miracle, isn't it? I think the 2 hours away from each other helps. So I see on Twitter you're talking about your upcoming shows, and you're talking about golf and hockey. And my first thought is, all right, we're going to need to use voice and facial recognition software to verify it's you.
So this is why it's been such a long week. So we had 4 bridge shows and then the 5 radio shows. When I was just doing the radio thing, that was pretty manageable. And then when we added the bridge on top of it, that's when things got really dicey. And we've been doing a lot of Olympics on the bridge. And we do many topics, like everything's quick hit.
Right.
So we're like throwing up skiers and hockey and blah, blah, blah. We talk to Tiger, we talk this, that. And so whatever it is, I have to learn something about it.
Of course.
So I get down to the radio show, and then I'm doing prep for the TV show, and I learned about Mariah Nagasu. I learned more about Lindsey Vonn, and then Schifflin's the other skier, right?
Yeah, Michaela Schifflin.
And then I had to learn about the women's hockey team. Like, I had no clue that they began playing women's hockey in Olympics in 98 and had U.S. won in 98. They hadn't won since, but they've been winning the World Cups but losing the Olympics. Like, I had no clue about any of that stuff. So I'm scrambling to learn all this crap just so I can sound at least not stupid.
Well, you know, as somebody who's only done radio, maybe a little writing, you know, you've been a reporter, you've covered beats, you've done focused panel shows, and you've been the guest doing a spot on radio. So would I be safe in saying that's part of the learning curve, that, you know, you can't just talk Ducks or Blazers, that if you don't expand your horizons, you're going to find that you're only talking about a couple things, which you can't do to do it in an entertaining show.
Well, exactly. I mean, you have to be able to talk about whatever's going on that day in sport. You know, and it could be anything. What's his face won the Indy 500 in the Dylan?
Yeah, the
what's his name?
Daytona 500.
What did I say? See, I said Indy 500. See what I'm talking about?
Exactly.
I knew it was a 500 something. Now on TV and radio, I said Daytona 500. I got it right, but that was like a few days ago, so it's already seeping away from my mind. That's how unfamiliar I am with it. But like we talked about that one that day, and like there was someone in our office who's a big NASCAR guy. He was like going off about, yeah, it's a big thing because you know he won racing number 3, but that was Dale Earnhardt Senior's Dale Earnhardt Senior's number. And people have talked about whether or not I should be retired or not, but his best friend is the guy who owns the car who Dylan just won with, and so it's okay because that's his friend, but should it be retired? Like, all that kind of stuff. I mean, I heard about it before, but I never listened to it enough to be able to talk about it, so I spend time learning this stuff. It's just crazy. And then for 2 shows, that's the thing. It's one thing just learning stuff for 1 show,
right,
but it's not always overlap.
So you're learning.
It's been wild.
You've learned in a short time that you have to step outside your wheelhouse, in essence.
Right. And so what I'm doing is I'm reaching back to my days when I was a general assignment reporter in news, where one day I might be covering crime, the next day business, the next day education, the next day some community news, the next day a city council meeting. That's some of the training you do early on in your journalism career.
Yep.
So I'm sort of reaching back into that. Back sort of a tool, my tool belt, and so it's been okay. It's just been
Exhausting.
Yes.
We continue with the now more well-rounded Aaron Fentress. You know, I've been here for 27 years, and I've been waiting for Portland to land an NHL franchise. And I saw you did a segment with Serena Winters about kind of the buzz of a team coming to the Pacific Northwest. But from what you're hearing, what are your sources saying? Yeah, not so much Portland.
Yeah, Portland's out. So Dwight James is the expert, the more of an expert on all this. We talk about it all the time, though. And basically what it's come down to with Portland is that, you know, there's an arena there, which makes it maybe a more logical spot than Seattle, which doesn't really have an arena. I mean, they have the Key Arena, but everyone knows that needs to be renovated. But Paul Allen is not gung-ho to bring hockey to Portland. If he were, I think it would have been done already. He's got the money to do it. He can buy a team. He's got the arena done, right?
Right.
But it's not something that is high on his list of things to do, so it's not coming to Portland. And plus, NHL wants Seattle. NHL's at the top of Seattle's list. NHL wants Seattle, and there's an ownership group in Seattle that will bring hockey there, and they're already working out, you know, building a new arena. I think they're going to remodel Key maybe for future basketball. I think they're hoping that they can get hockey there. Maybe basketball will come too eventually. But anyway, so NHL is going to hockey. NHL is going to Seattle. However, baseball is really, really becoming a real thing for Portland.
Whoa.
Yeah, I don't know if you've been following that at all. But,
a little bit.
Yeah, so the Atlanta Journal-Constitution columnist, I think his name is Brian. I can't remember. We actually had him on the radio last week. See, I'm forgetting our guests already. That's how much stuff's going through my head.
That's why I repeat guests. I just have you guys on, and I know what day it is, and it keeps me focused.
So he came on, and Dwight knows him, and he wrote a column last week where he talked about how MLB is looking to they're hoping to expand. And Portland is at the top of their list. It's Portland, Nashville, and San Antonio or something like that, but
right.
Portland is number one.
Wow.
And then he said also that if there is just simply a relocation, whether it's Tampa or Oakland, that Portland would be the spot. And there is a group in Portland. It's a hush-hush underground group that Dwight knows. Dwight has the inside track on these guys and knows what's going on, and so does baseball. And I guess it's a serious group that includes people from outside the Portland area with money to either first of all, build a stadium. Like, the only public money they would ask for would be the $100 million that has already been approved and set aside for public funding. I can't remember if that's at the state level or the city level.
Yeah, we went through this whole thing with the Confederated Tribes, and were they going to write a check, and there was that group up there. Yeah, I know where you're at with that.
But there's government money set aside that if some owner comes up and says they want to build a stadium, that's what the public money will be, that 100 or 150, I can't remember what it was, sorry. But it's somewhere in like 100 to 150 million.
Right.
But a state of the art stadium would maybe cost, you know, where do they run this these days? You're not gonna go full Jerry Jones. You'd probably build a nice 40,000 seat baseball season for stadium for what? $600 million, $700 million?
Yeah, probably about three quarters of a bill.
Right. 3/4 of a bill. Yeah, whatever, you know, something like that. Anyway.
Jump change.
So this group is in place to build the stadium and then purchase the team or start a new team. But again, it's like it's under the radar, but people in the know, and baseball knows. And so Portland is on the top of baseball's list, and Seattle's on the top of NHL's list. So it's very conceivable that we're going to see both within the next few years, with hockey being first. And up in Seattle, they're saying it's done. I don't know if you saw the report where they're already starting. They're going to start selling, I think next week they start selling deposits for season tickets.
Wow.
See that?
Yeah. No,
yeah.
I didn't see it. I heard you say it.
Yeah. So $500. There's a $500 tier and a $1,000 tier. And there's no prices set yet for what the tickets are going to actually cost. But if you want to get in for season tickets, you put your deposit in next week. That's how serious they are that this is going to happen.
Oh, that's legit.
Exactly.
Man, I would kill for NHL and MLB in Portland, but I'd settle for MLB. So, speaking of, I heard you guys discuss that other MLB team in Seattle, longest current postseason drought. They added Ryan Healy. You got Felix off injury for a second straight year, sub .500. So what was the buzz among what you researched and the guys you talked about, I guess, about, you know, what to expect from the Mariners this year?
Yeah, the Mariners are interesting. They're gonna be solid, you know, and they were solid last year. When you think about it, I mean, I think they were 76, 78 games. Do you remember?
Yeah, they were 79 and 83. They were around .500 and kind of faltered a little bit at the end.
Yeah, so that was with Felix Hernandez having a down year, ERA over 4, and he missed several starts with injuries. That was with them, actually, their whole pitching staff was just getting destroyed.
I think they
were 17 starters.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
I think the number was 17 starters and 44 total pitchers. No, we're talking baseball. I have to mention my Cubs. One of the things about when the Cubs won the World Series that was fascinating that year is that no one ever missed a start. The top 5 starters for the Cubs that year, like, every single day. I think they probably used 8 starters the entire year. That was just to give someone a rest, not because they had to miss a start. So think about that, 17 starters. And their top 4 starters, I think, had a combined record of like 23-11 or something with a respectable 3-something ERA. So the theory is if Felix comes back healthy, which he is, and they can keep the rest of the rotation healthy, they're going to have a pretty good staff. Offensively, they've been decent, not great. I think they're 7th in majors in runs. 7th in the American League in runs, which is solid. And that's with, you know, Cruz, obviously, Cano, and Seager. But they've added Ryan Healy, former Duck.
Yep, a thumper,
traded from Oakland in the house, who's going to give him some pop at first base. So if you get your pitching staff straightened out, Felix comes back strong. You got Paxton still, had a great year last year. And then you get you have more pop in your lineup, that they can maybe get 85, 86 wins. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. The problem is Houston won 100 last year, right, in the World Series, and the Angels are in that same division. They're going to be good, and Texas is not, you know, they don't pitch very well, but they hit the heck out of the ball, so it's going to be a tough division. So, you know, I think maybe they could flirt with the wild card, maybe. I don't think they're going to win that division, but I think they're going to be good, as long as they stay healthy. The big question really is, like, that what people are talking about this week, and then we had Ryan Divish on from the Seattle Times. He was on the bridge with us, and we were talking about the fact who's going to start opening day, because there's a feeling that maybe Paxton will start opening day since he was the better pitcher last year. But it's King Felix, man. He's made 10 of the last 11 starts. How do you not make him the opening day starter? But that's all opening day nonsense. The bottom line is you need Felix healthy. You need Paxton to duplicate what he did last year. The rest of the guys stay healthy. And Healy, he actually injured his wrist, I think it was his wrist, so he's trying to get healed up. If that could all fall into place, you're looking at a winning team. Maybe not a playoff team, though.
Yeah, they might be in the wild card run. By the way, for the record, I went back and looked at my notes. The thing about your Cubbies that year, their starters made 152 of the 162 starts that year.
Yeah, it was insane.
Unbelievable. And Seattle actually did need 17 starters to get through last year.
Yep.
Talk about a difference. All right, I'm going to let you go take a nap. And enjoy your weekend, and we'll check your sanity level next week. Thanks a lot, AF.
Thanks, man, because radioing is hard.
Yeah, tell me about it. You guys been mocking me all these years. No, I'm only kidding. Have a good one.
All right, brother, bye.
Take it easy.